Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Praise the name of the Lord. Everybody have a good week? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open 1 Peter. Quite honestly, this series on our core values has probably been one of my favorite ones I've ever done. I believe it came straight from the heart of the Father. Not that any of the other ones I've ever done didn't, but I believe that God's taken us someplace, guys. He's taken us someplace. Everybody say, He's taken me someplace. We're going to move on to the second to last core value that we have in this series. It's being an active steward of abilities and resources. And this is going to be the most interesting one. And you might as well say, Pastor, we love you now, because maybe by the time we're done, you may not. But that's okay. But active stewards of abilities and resources. And we're going to get into some things in this series that I trust that the Spirit of God will change our perspective in moving us forward as part of His body. Because how many know that we want to go where the head's going? It's nothing worse than a body with no head, right? So we want to go where the head's going. And, you know, my wife and I were talking about this at one point, and it seems as though, you know, in the body of Christ, we've kind of had seasons of things. We've had different segments of time where we seem like we focused on certain things. And quite honestly, we probably wouldn't be where we are in what we're focusing on now if we hadn't have gotten the other foundation laid before. You know, I love the teaching on faith. And it's important. The Word says that when you're in the presence of the Lord, you must, number one, believe that He is and believe that He's a rewarder. A lot of folks believe that He's a condemner, but He's a rewarder. So when we stand in His presence, that's why there's to be no condemnation. You know, some people have said that, you know, you get in the presence of the Lord and He points out all your junk. No, you get in the presence of the Lord and He sees you for who you are, because that's who He made you. You know, I guess I'll just say this now. You know, I'm not coming against any person. We don't come against people. We deal with mindsets. But how many know, if the world really knew Jesus, they'd run to Him. I said, if the world really knew Jesus, they'd run to Him. He proved that when He was in the flesh. The masses of people ran to Him. They didn't run away from Him. It was only the religious system that didn't like Him. Somewhere along the way, the natural man never saw that the same people they don't like are the same ones that Jesus didn't like. Amen. You know, and I sometimes, you know, it's easy to take for granted what you've taken in about the Spirit of God and how God and Father thinks and how Jesus really is. You know, and you, maybe you've come from this place and now you're not in this place. Hopefully you're not. But Jesus needs folks that will represent Him accurately. You know, and so part of the purpose of going through these core values is that we know how to facilitate the presence of Him on a spontaneous basis so that we allow Him to talk to people. because he really does want to talk to people, right? And I don't care what you have settled in on in your thinking, or if maybe you're not there now. I pray that you're not, but I was raised in church my whole life, and I never got one time taught how to live out of my spirit. Didn't even know that was there. So I've spent my time living out of my head. And of course, you know, you throw doctrine in your head and you learn doctrine, and you know, we need to renew our mind because we need to make sure our mind submits to that which is the real you, which is your spirit, so that the two walk together, because the word says, how can two walk together unless they be agreed? Right? So renewing our mind is important. But how many know if you renew your mind with scripture and theology, but you never let him experientially interact with you to where you see the result of what he leads you and prompts you to do? How many know that all you have is theory? Now, we've mentioned that a number of times in this series, but I can't reiterate that enough, that we cannot settle on just knowing scriptures and knowing doctrines and say that's enough. Because that's only one of the legs. We don't want to be just people that are just hopping around on one leg. We want to get both legs moving. And the other leg of the body is the Spirit of God. So what happens when you just learn scriptures and you just learn doctrine and you just learn theology, but you never have an experiential experience with the person of Him? What happens? Well, you treat people bad. I was at a place yesterday, and I don't know why I'm opening with this, but whatever. We'll get it out, and we'll move on. I was at a place the other day, yesterday, and I happened to pull up right when a guy was talking to one of the workers. And he just got, and all I caught in the conversation was he said something about Jesus, he said something about him dying. And then he was getting ready to leave. I could tell he was trying to, you know, witness to him. And the worker stuck out his hand to shake his hand, and the guy said, "I'm not going to shake your hand." I thought that was really weird. And so I immediately jumped in and said, "Well, brother, I'll shake your hand. Give me your hand." And I shook his hand, and I said, "Well, I just want you to know Jesus thinks you're amazing." And I looked him straight in the face. And so the guy, you know, I don't want to come against anybody, so I gave the guy that was just talking to him thumbs up, and you know, thank you for talking to this guy. And he left. But then I went to talk to this guy after I was done with my business there. And I just said, "You know what, you need to understand this." Because he said, "You know, I'm an atheist. And I don't come against people's religion. And I know it's kind of a crutch to kind of get them through life and help them wake up in the morning." And I said, "Look, I understand the whole atheist thing." I said, "But I want to tell you, I'll just be honest with you, the reason you're an atheist is because you've never met him. Because when you meet him, you run to him. You can put away all the religious crap and all the garbage, and as soon as you meet Jesus, and my prayer is that you'll meet him, you'll run to him, because he's awesome, and he's so into you. He thinks you're amazing." And this guy, he just lit up. His face got... He smiled. And it wasn't one of these, "I'm going to pacify you and just wait till you get out of my face." He was for real. Folks, the reason people are in the world the way they are is because they just haven't met him. Maybe the problem is they've met too much of us. And they haven't met him. So my desire, you know, we've gone through this series, and I believe you're going to get some things out of today, but my desire is for 2014, and I believe this is the desire of the Spirit of God too, is that we come to the place in our life that we are no longer satisfied with taking in teachings from all over the place. I love that. That's fine. That's fine. You know, it's perfectly fine. But along with that, let's learn to experience Him as a person. Because He is. You know, isn't it interesting? We're comfortable talking about Him as a person. We're comfortable teaching about him as a person. We're comfortable about all the things that have to do with the knowledge of him being a person, but we don't really know how to experience him and interact with him as a person. 2014, folks, we're going there. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of the Lord put this in my mind this last week. He said, the only reason there's unbelief amongst my people is because they've never interacted with me. Because once you interact with me, unbelief goes away. So the only reason that there's unbelief amongst my people is because everybody's in theory and nothing's been tested and tried and never seen the results. Because once they stay in step with me and they walk with me and I prompt them and they do and they see the results, there is no more unbelief because you've stepped out on it and you got in the boat and it floats. So I thought that was an interesting thing that he said to me, but this core value, I'm telling you folks, I trust that you get what I'm trying to get over to you by the Spirit of God, and if I happen to say anything that, you know, hits you sideways, just brush it off and keep focused. Because I believe the Spirit of God wants to take us to another place. And I'll tell you, there aren't many folks here. I don't mean here, I mean, there's not many folks in this place. Because we've been satisfied with categorizing and keeping all our theology in compartments, but it's never really been a real life walking out, this is what life looks like, because I really do believe what I say I believe. And so this core value is, in your notes you see, it's being active stewards of abilities and resources. And I want to tell you this, that it's going to change your perspective on the purpose of the church. Like I said, I grew up in church my whole entire life. And I was raised with one model. And quite frankly, that's the dominant model that's on the planet today. But the Spirit of God wants you to know He has another model. And He's already given it to us, we just didn't recognize it. And we've touched a little bit on it in the previous core value, but this one really deals with it. We're going to pick up the verse we left off in the last core value. But before we go there in 1 Peter chapter 4, let me just read the core value. We are free to be people. Everybody say, I'm free. To be a person that understands the way to permanently affect a culture. How many know we're about affecting a culture? Everybody say, I'm about affecting a culture. You know, it doesn't do any good to bemoan and curse the darkness. Are things bad? Yeah, they are. But my Bible says in the latter days, where the nature of sin and darkness abounds, His presence and power abound even more. Right? And so we're free to be a people that understand that the way to permanently affect a culture is through actively being a steward of the God-given giftings. Everybody say, I got gifts. And resources we possess. Now before you jump to conclusions, I'm not going a place you may think I'm going, but by the time we're done here, you're going to like it. I was reminded when I was over the Christmas, my wife was talking about how she was raised and she grew up, and her parents, I think it was her dad, said, you know, he'd tell them, you're going to eat that and you're going to like it. That sounded similar to what I was raised with. You're going to eat that and you're going to like it. Well, you're going to like this, I promise, by the time we're done. I mean, I trust that the Spirit of God will give you a reality shift. And you'll see things about who you are as a part of the body that you haven't seen before. 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 6 to start off with, and then we're going to get into 7 through 11. Because I want to bring this verse back into your attention. Because I really believe, to be honest with you, that this really is one of a key verse that needs to be communicated to natural people. You know, did you ever stop to think about the fact that so many of the evangelism programs that we have gotten down through the last 50 years are all the same? Somebody came up with four or five verses and then they made them into a process, and then that got passed down one after another, after another, after another. And we've really never had a new thought. Well, let me give you a new thought. I mean, you know, there's more than just five verses in this book. Right? Did you know that? I mean, in yours, maybe there's six. There's a lot more than just five or six in your book. And so, 1 Peter chapter 4, again, nothing new, but unlike Peter, I'll bring you in remembrance of these things. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 6, it says, "For the gospel, for this purpose," everybody say, "for this purpose," "has been preached." Now, previously, he talked about all of the things that the natural man does. It's also brought out in Galatians chapter 5. That's the natural man. But he says, "For this purpose the gospel has been preached, to those who are dead or separated from God, that though they be judged in the flesh as men, as natural men, they would live in the," now the NASB has "spirit" in small s, and that's really what it should be, because you're contrasting the natural man with your spirit. Right? I said right? So many places in some translations it tries to contrast his spirit with the natural man, which, I mean, it's okay, but his spirit is in your spirit. So if we're dealing with a man, let's deal with the spirit and the rest of the man. So for this purpose, the gospel has been preached, so that natural man would be distinguished. The word "judge" really is the word "distinguished." Would be distinguished as a natural man, so that he could come alive in his spirit, because that's the will of God. I may have seen that verse before. The purpose of the gospel being preached on this planet is so that natural men will be distinguished as natural men, as the old model, and so that they would make the jump from being the old model to the new model, come alive in their spirit, be reconnected within their spirit to his spirit, and because that's the will of Father. So how is that done? Well, surely it's done by what we say, but it's also done by what we demonstrate. How is the old model supposed to know what the new model looks like if we don't demonstrate it? I've said this before, that, you know, and you've heard it said, that the gospel is a show-and-tell gospel. If you go into the book of Acts, in the previous core value, we looked at the last 2 weeks of that particular core value, we laid out very specifically that the gospel is always geared around the healing and delivering of the sick. Why did we decide to get off of that? Because the gospel is a show-and-tell gospel. Man looks on the outward. Man cannot understand something he cannot see. But how many know man can understand when he's under the influence of something and he's under the dominion of disease, sickness, infirmity, and the new model comes along, lays his hands on him, and "these signs follow them that believe in my name." They lay hands on the sick and they recover, and the man recovers. How many know he can understand that? So let's not try to relay the model. Let's just go with it. You say, "Well, Dan, I've laid hands on 47 people and nothing happened. There's always 48. There's always 49. How many people we lay hands on has nothing to do with whether the track's laid that way or not. I mean, if you took that mindset into the world, well, I guess more people believe that it's not so than it is, so I guess it's not. No, Jesus is still Lord. The kingdom of God is still here. He's still Lord of all. Always been. And so the environment of the kingdom is there's no infirmity, there's no disease, there's none of that stuff. This is how much Jesus loves you. So we lay hands on the sick and we walk away because it's not my job to heal. I couldn't heal somebody if I tried. You can't heal somebody if you tried. So don't get all wrapped around the axle about as if it was anything based on you. Let's just do the daddy's business and let the pieces fall where they may. And if we do that enough, I'm going to tell you, things will start clicking. Amen? So the reason the gospel is preached is because so the natural man will be distinguished as natural man so that he'll become alive in the spirit, in his spirit, because that's the will of Father. And then he goes on to say in verse 7, this is where I want to pick up, the end of all things is near, therefore be of sound judgment and sober, be alert, pay attention. For the purpose of prayer. Now the word prayer there is interesting. In the Greek, it's the word prosuke. It means two-way communication. You could call it fellowship if you'd like. That's really what it is. But for the purpose of fellowshipping with Him and keeping that communication open, and He talks to you, talk to Him, and He talks to you, and you catch it. He's getting ready to say something. He says, the times are... The end of the things is near, therefore be of sound judgment. Be sober, be paying attention for the purpose of your fellowship with Him. Verse 9, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. Now the word above all really means in front of, before anything else. In other words, He's given us a key here. And I have something in your notes I wanted you to understand and think about this. And, you know, it's not really for you because you guys are all perfect. But, you know people, right? We all know people. And they're more concerned about everybody else's business than they are their own. You know, when somebody misses it, they're quick to point it out. They're quick to point out somebody not living right. They're quick to point out where somebody's missing it. Let me tell you, if we live like that, then you're going to live, your communication path with Him is going to live, is going to be congested. You're going to have a lot of white noise. And so you're going to miss things that He wants to get over to you because you've got stuff in your own head that you're focusing on instead of. Principle number one in your notes there, guard your heart, for out of it flow the answers. Everybody say, out of my heart flows the answers for the issues of life. And then I put this, no one else's business is as significant as His. Let's be a people and let's develop a culture that we love people and we care about people, and if folks are going down the wrong path, then we scripturally address that. But we do it in a way to lift them up, not to point out their deficiencies. The biggest problem that we have as pastors is we forget that what Paul said. He said, I was given this authority to build you up and not tear you down. So sometimes we let our frustration get in the way and we end up focusing on people's shortcomings instead of lifting them up and building them up like the Word says. You can bring correction to somebody's life and still be building them up, right? So let's be a people and be a culture that we pay more attention to daddy's business than we do somebody else's. Our job is to lift people up, build people up, encourage them along their journey, and run alongside of them and celebrate those moments with them. Right? Because how many know we're all on a journey? And we all want somebody just to run with us and celebrate all the good stuff. Right? So we're going to be that kind of people. And I'm telling you, you're going to see people that are shocked when you have established this kind of a habit in your life. Because as soon as they find out you're a Christian, you just destroyed the whole thought they had about what a Christian was. There's no way I could let that guy yesterday go back into his work day just having talked to a Christian who wouldn't even touch him. Because some kind of way the guy felt like, well, if I touch this guy and he's an atheist, then I'm gonna be condoning what he is. How dumb can he get and still breathe? The Word says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So give me my hand, I'll touch you, because when I touch you, the presence of Jesus is going to come off on you. So I'll touch you all I want. In fact, let me hold your hand and shake your hand as I walk into the building. See, these are the things, folks, we got to understand. Darkness is doing a good enough job selling people a crock without us getting the spirit of stupid on us and helping it. So let's pay attention more to his daddy's business and hold it more significant than somebody else's business. And then I'm going to read this verse. The next verse is in your notes. It actually came out of that translation from the Aramaic. And I thought it was so amazing in what it says. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And then later on, in other verses, and those verse references are in this, in the notes, we read this one earlier. The Spirit of the Lord says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice. But notice what he says here in this, I think it's verse 35, whatever it says. It says, for my objectives are the issues of life. Listen to this. My objectives are the issues of life because they proclaim the will of the Lord. Now think about this. Put those two together. Out of your heart, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And the Spirit of the Lord says that he leads in the way of righteousness in the paths of justice. People are always talking about, you know, social justice. I'm going to get into that later on this series too. The church should be number one in the forefront of bringing social justice, nobody else. Amen? Where do we ever get this idea? Well, I'm just going to say this. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'll say it anyway. Isn't it interesting that in over the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years, 100 years, whatever it's been, we got this idea and we bought it. That the church is supposed to be broke and resourceless while the government of the land steps in with the money and takes care of the people. How did we get suckered into that? When we ought to be the ones, because what did Peter say? He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Jesus said, everything that belongs to the Father is mine, so I'm going to give you another one just like me, and he's going to be in you. And the purpose of him being in you is he wants to lead you up into those things. So the body of Christ should be the greatest asset to any government on the planet. Because if the body of Christ would walk in the fullness of who we really are, we would save the government a whole lot of money. So I kind of got ahead of myself. So, therefore, let's use sound judgment and pay attention for the purpose of your fellowship and your connection with him. And then it says, verse 8, above all, or in front of everything, or before anything else, be fervent in your love for one another. Because love covers a multitude of sins. Let's be a person and a culture that nobody else's business matters as much as his. Our daddy's. Verse 9, be hospitable. Well, no, let's go back to Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Because the Spirit of God says, my objectives are the issues of life, because they proclaim the will of the Lord. Can you understand what he's saying here? Guard your heart. In other words, keep yourself in the love of God so that your connection is strong, so that you don't miss things that he says to you, so that the flow of his presence can come out of you unhindered onto someone else, and you can minister what's in the mind of daddy into the mind of someone else. And when you do that, you're dealing with the issues of their life, because Holy Spirit's job said, my job, my objective is those issues, because when those issues get fixed, that demonstrates and illustrates the will of the Lord. Does that make sense? I've never read that verse like that. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I lead in the way of righteousness. My objectives are the issues of life, because they proclaim the will of the Lord. Verse 9, back in 1 Peter chapter 4. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each and every one, inasmuch as he's received a gift, he employs it. And in your notes there, you see in the Greek New Testament, that word employs is actually an ongoing constant. It's an ongoing constant. He employs it as good stewards of the manifold grace of God, as good stewards of his presence and the working of his power that demonstrates his favor. 1 Corinthians 12 calls it bringing him a good advantage. I'm going to know everywhere we are, if we let the Spirit of God flow through us when we're dealing with folks, we bring good advantage to that scenario. He told the Corinthian church in the very first opening words of his letter that we call 1 Corinthians, he says, you come behind in no gift. You can come behind in no gift. And obviously that's talking about spiritual gifts, but also in other things too. We're going to deal with those things today. We're good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now the thing that's interesting here, let me just go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul made this statement. And I know he was speaking about himself, but this also applies to you. And we deal with this a lot in this fellowship. We deal with this a lot because, quite honestly, if I stop teaching on this, everybody goes back to what they knew. That's just the way it is. You never go, there is no neutral. It's either forward or backward. So I believe the Spirit of God wants to keep bringing these things to your remembrance. Because at some point, you'll get comfortable staying here. And you'll expect this. But 1 Corinthians chapter, what did I say, chapter 4? Verse 1. Paul makes this statement, and I want you to see this about yourself also. He says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. I'm going to say the mysteries. Did you know you're a steward of the mysteries of God? Now the word mysteries there is the word that means the content of that which has not been known but has been revealed. What did he tell this church in Corinth? He said he gave you his Spirit so that he might make known to you. So the mysteries are not something that can never be known. If I ever hear any of you guys say, well, you just never know what God's going to do, I may just come up and slap you. No, I won't. But that's just not so. That's just not New Testament. You know, we don't look through a glass darkly. I know what Professor so-and-so said, but that's not true. We don't look through a glass darkly. We look through a mirror with open face, beholding the glory of the Lord. And when we look into that, we're changed into the very same glory. There is no dark glass darkly for us. Did you get that? So he says, regardless in this manner, that we're stewards of the mysteries of God. And if you go back to the previous chapter, just a few verses ahead of this, or prior to this, he sits there and tells you, look, you're the Spirit, you're the temple of the Spirit of God. And then he goes on to say in verse 21, he says, let me be clear about this. He says, don't be boasting in men, for all things belong to you. Whether things that Paul's gotten, things that Apollos has gotten, or Cephas has gotten, or the things in the world, or life, or death, or things that are present, or things that are coming, they all belong to you. And then he says, regard us as stewards of the mysteries also. So we're talking about being stewards of the giftings that are in you. Romans chapter 10, verse 20, notice this. Isaiah said, Paul's quote in Isaiah 65, 1. Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those, this is the Lord speaking, I was found by those who did not seek me. Notice the next phrase. I became manifest. Everybody say manifest. I mean, now that's talking about to your natural eye. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. I mean, I know there are a lot of folks in this city that did not ask for Jesus, but he still wants to manifest himself to them. Woo! Just had to wake you up. Verse 11. Whoever speaks, he gets on, he's going to get to demonstrate what does this look like to be a steward of the giftings. Whoever speaks, he says, as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Why? Because you are a steward of the mysteries of God. You know, it's so fascinating. If you look at what Paul wrote about the nation of Israel, it says that the nation of Israel was made, they were given the very things that were spoken by God. They were given the oracles of God. They were given the things that were spoken by God. Folks, New Covenant, fast forward. The same thing is said about us. He's given us things that he's saying. We're stewards of the things that are revealed. The word stewards there is somebody, if you've seen somebody who's a manager of a house, you know, somebody who's responsible for the house, they make sure that everything gets done. They make sure that everything is the way it's supposed to be. They make sure that everything is of order. They make sure that everything that the desires and the wishes of the owner of the house, they get accomplished. They manage the house. They manage the property. They manage everything. They're in charge of everything. Well, that sounds an awful lot like what Jesus said. He says we always should be about our Father's business. And on top of that, it also sounds a lot like what the real meaning of adoption is when the Word says that we were adopted as sons into the family. He really was saying he brought you to a place of maturity, and he said, okay, this is all Daddy's business. It's all not yours. It's your responsibility, his business. Because that's really what the word adoption means. It means the placing of a mature one. So we're stewards of the things that are revealed from heaven into the earth. Now, understand this, that the nice thing about this journey that we're on is what depends on us is just to live in fellowship with him and live connected and train ourselves to step out when we get, and then step out when we get more, and then step out when we get more. And that's what we get to do. So that's pretty cool. All the other responsibility is his. Look at Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, look at verse 16. And this is after the guy that was born lame. Peter says, I don't have any money right this moment, but what I do have right now, I'm going to give it to you. And he jerked him up and said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. He jerked him up, and before the guy hit the ground, his ankles received strength. And, you know, we often think that, you know, here was a guy that his muscles were completely developed. He just wasn't walking. If a guy's legs were born lame, there wasn't much there, guys. But by the time he hit the ground, it was there. Notice what Peter said to everybody once he got everybody's attention. He doesn't say it in the text, but he might as well have said, okay, now that I got your attention, now listen to what I have to say. He said, look, in verse 16, on the basis of faith in his name, the name of Jesus, which has strengthened this man whom you see and know, the faith which is through, everybody say through. It's through him. The faith which is through him. Now, I know that in 1 Corinthians 12 it talks about that there's a special gift of faith that comes on you in certain scenarios. I understand that. But I would submit to you, this was just Peter stepping out of what he knew he had. Because he had gotten direction. It says he fixed his gaze on him. When you read that in other places in Acts, when it says that they fixed their gaze on them, that's because the Holy Spirit brought it to their attention. So he got something from the Spirit of God in that moment. John and Peter both keyed in on it, and he looked at him, he fixed his gaze on him, and he just stepped out with what he got, and he says, look, I don't have any money. Well, he got the guy's attention, because he said, but what I do have, I'm going to give you. So the guy's already paying attention, and he just jerked him up, and by the time he hit the ground, his ankles were made, received strength. Whatever was not developed was developed, and he leaped and jumped and followed him into the temple. That's crazy. That's Jesus. But he just simply acted on what he got. The faith that came through. What's faith? Faith is the evidence of things that you don't see. Faith is that which is revealed from heaven. So when whatever was revealed to Peter and John that caused them to fix their gaze on this man, they got the instructions, and when they got that, they acted on it. Well, they weren't mustering up faith to get it done. The faith came with the instructions. Are you guys getting anything out of this? We need to stop wasting our time trying to get up enough to do something, when the fact is all we have to do is just pay attention and act on what we get. Because it comes through him. It comes through him. Look at this one, chapter 4. I love this. I saw something in this, and I've read this verse a bunch of times. And Acts chapter 4. While y'all are turning there, I'm going to take a drink. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 30. Okay, these guys just got done. The religious system read them and gave them the business. Said, don't ever teach in this guy's name ever again. So they went home amongst their party, and they got together, and the first thing they did, they began to rejoice and praise the Lord. Verse 29 says, now, Lord, take note of their threatenings and grant that your bondservants, now I want you to read this very, very carefully. Grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence while while you extend your hand to heal. While you. Can I ask you a question? Does while mean after the fact? Then how can we read it that way? Imagine this. What happens? I'll read it again. Grant that your bond servants may speak your word with all confidence while you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of the Holy Servant Jesus. What happens . You could read it like this. Was this the first time they ever saw the Spirit of God do anything? No. So, what happens when a people live with the confidence that as soon as I open my mouth and begin to talk about this part of him, he's already doing it? What happens to a society when a people rises up who have confidence that as soon as I open my mouth, while I'm speaking, he's going to stretch forth his hand and people are going to start getting healed? Can you see that's quite a bit different than talking and hoping he shows up? Did you hear what I just said? It's quite a bit different than talking about him and hoping that he shows up. They're saying, grant us confidence in speaking, because while we're speaking, you're going to be stretching forth your hand to heal. So what happens in a city when a people rise up who have confidence that as soon as we begin to speak, his hand is being stretched forth and he's healing folks? And this is our confidence. So because we have this confidence, we're going to speak like this. And we're going to assign him to things. Early on, I'll be honest with you. When I was younger in this whole deal, it used to rock my brain how people would say, of course, it was all in the confines of the church because that's all we knew. Well, we're going to have a healing meeting tonight and everybody's going to get healed. People are going to get healed. Jesus is going to heal somebody. You know, when I was first new in this thing, my mind was going, how can you speak for him like that? How do you know that he's going to heal somebody? Isn't that kind of presumptuous on your part? And then I heard another guy say this, that God likes you to put him in a corner. He likes you to commit him to things. Because he doesn't. Well, that rocked my natural mind too. I was like, how do you do that? But you understand that what this verse is actually saying in the culture of the New Testament church in the book of Acts was, they had a confidence of them speaking because they knew as they were speaking, he was stretching forth his hand to heal. Which tells you something, that was a pinnacle part of the message of the gospel that they had. It wasn't something else. When was the last time anybody got healed when somebody stood up to preach on something completely unrelated to that? They spoke with confidence about the Lordship of Jesus, the kingdom of God that's here right now. And they laid hands on the sick and saw them. It's the same exact thing that Jesus trained them to do when he was with them. So they had a confidence in that vein. Because they knew, while we're speaking, he's stretching forth his hand to heal. My heart's desire, my prayer for this city, and every city surrounding this city, is that one day there'll come a place, come a time, when the people run to the church because they say, look, we know that if we can just get within your shadow, we know we'll get healed. Well, Pastor Dan, that was only for Peter. I know, I've seen pictures of him with a little halo on his head. But Peter jerked Cornelius up off the ground and said, "Look, I'm a man just like you. And so if the shadow of a man, if the presence of God on Peter, as far out as your shadow stretches, can set somebody free from an infirmity, and he said, I'm a man just like you, then why in the world should the world not be running to the church, to people that are of the church, of the body of Christ, saying, we know that if we can just get within the parameters of your shadow, we know we can get healed." Don't shut me down when I'm preaching real good. So, in being a steward of the giftings of God, you know, he says in verse 11 again, if you're speaking, make sure you're speaking the utterances of him, as opposed to the utterances of your own head. You might as well say amen to that. How many have ever been counseled by somebody out of their own head? I've counseled myself out of my own head, and it doesn't work very good. So if we're going to be stewards of the mysteries of God, we want to establish a culture that we're going to make sure that if we're speaking something, we're speaking it because the Spirit of God gave it to us. And if you're serving, serve as one who is by the strength of which God supplies, in other words, his presence, so that in all things God may be glorified. There it is again. Through Jesus Christ. I want you to see this. Ephesians chapter 1. I read this verse for, I'm just going to tell on me all day today. I read this verse for years. And if I've ever taught this verse to you, I'm sorry. Because I probably taught it to you wrong. If you don't remember, just smile and nod, and I'll never know. Ephesians chapter 1. We call this the Ephesians prayers. Paul's praying for the church at Ephesus, the largest known church in the known world at that time, 100,000 people. Timothy was the pastor. And he says, he prays that, you know, the eyes of our heart will be that our understanding will be opened. Verse 18, the eyes of your heart will be enlightened, that you would know what is the hope of his calling. I'm going to get into that phrase in the next couple of weeks. What is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power? To everybody say his power. See, now we're talking about him again. It's all about him. I don't have quite as good a voice as you, brother, but I try. He wants us to get us wisdom and insight into the greatness of his power towards us. Now I'm going to read you how it reads in the actual Greek New Testament. Who are believing in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about. Stop. Now, we always get hung up on the next two words, but I want you to see what the following words after that is. When did he bring it about? He wants us to get a revelation of our calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance that's in us, the surpassing greatness of his power that's towards us or in us, who are believing according to the working of that strength of his might. Now, when did we get that strength of his might? Which he brought about when he raised him from the dead. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus raised from the dead? Okay, so when Jesus was raised from the dead, from that moment forward, we were given full access to the strength of his might. You have the strength of his might in you right this second. Everywhere you go, you have the strength of his might. Because from the resurrection forward, it became yours. And he wants us to be walking according to that, the working of that strength of his might. What were they doing in Acts 4, verse 30? They were walking in according to the reality of the strength of that might. They knew it. They spoke accordingly. They had confidence accordingly because they knew that as they were speaking, he was going to be stretching forth his hand to heal. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole being, the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. That's not speaking about what is now called a joint, especially since that's legal now in some states. We ain't talking about that kind of joint. We're talking about the joints of a body, and guess what? Everybody say, I'm a joint. Well, the joints supply something. He says, we're to grow up into him from whom, see, we're still talking about him, the whole body that's fitted and held together. The body is held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working. Everybody say the proper working of each individual part. So all of you joints have a proper working. And when every joint is proper working, the body is built up and it causes the growth of the body. But Colossians 2 elaborates more about the source. It says, holding fast to the head, from whom the entire body being supplied, every joint is being supplied by the head. Held together by the joints and ligaments, it grows with a growth which is from God. Now this is where I'm going to have some fun. I say that, but I'm serious from the Spirit of God's perspective. I had somebody tell me this one time. Really kind of ticked me off. But, you know, it's because I was where I was. But a guy looked at me and says, you got giftings in you don't even know about. Well, I thought I pretty much knew what my giftings were. He says, no, you got giftings you don't even know about. What is this verse saying? This verse is saying that the body of Christ is built up and grows a growth that comes from him when every joint submits to that which is coming from the head. Now let me break it down a little farther. In a local church, every single human being that walks through the door has giftings in them that don't belong to them. I knew they'd go over good. They don't belong to them, they belong to him. Didn't Paul say, you're not your own, you're bought with a price? So any giftings that are in you, they don't belong to you, they belong to him. So then I'm saying one more thing. Since they don't belong to you, they're not yours to say no to. They belong to him. But the thing that's exciting about it is this, and the Spirit of God spoke this to me this week. He says, what you don't realize is the more you're willing to show up and let me start digging those gifts out, and then you let me have them, the more you give me the ability to put my ability on your ability, and I'll bring you into a place in those gifts that you didn't know you could even go. But you got to give me access to them. So that's what these verses are saying. The body of Christ. Folks, we all want to be part of a... Well, I know we all do. We all want to be part of a life-impacting church in this city, in this nation, in the world. Right? But understand that the way we get there is not by saying no. The way we get there is recognize that everything that's in you doesn't belong to you, it belongs to Him. The church is His. The vision is His. Everything is His. We just get to be a part of it. And so we need to develop mindsets that give Him access to even giftings you don't know. You say, well, I don't really think I'm gifted in that. Well, if there's a desire there, there's a gift in there. Why don't you let Him dig it out? I'll never forget the first time that I actually got to play with a live group. That was kind of silly. I told you it was a telling me day. The very first time I got ever played my keyboard with a live band. I'd never played with a live band in my life. I could, unbeknownst to me, but the Spirit of God knew, I trained myself to play by ear when I was a kid. I had lessons for a certain amount of time, but I trained myself to play by ear. So I was used to playing with CDs, cassettes. I'll tell you how back it was, far back it was. I was used to doing that, but they're not live. The first time I played with a live group, I was like, wow, this is easier than I thought. Because I just kind of started, you know, and I knew some of the songs, but then I just kind of added some stuff here and got back out. Added some stuff here and got back out. But pretty soon, by the time we ended up parting ways, it was no big deal for me to play with a live group. But I wouldn't have initiated that myself. Because my head had been telling me, no, you're not that good, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. But when I submitted it to Him, do you understand that every time you submit to Him a gifting or a desire that you have, that you give Him access to develop it in you? And He'll bring it to a place, it'll take you that you never thought you could go. And you gotta understand that. See, everything about God rotates around the principle. You've got to understand that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. So when we're talking about submitting our giftings to Him, folks, if we want to have an impact in a city and a nation and a world, then we have to come to the place in our culture. And this is for, you know, folks that will be listening to these messages down through the years. From this point, we have got to come to the place in our culture where we understand that everything that belongs, that is in us, it doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Him. And if we're just willing to let Him have them, even if we don't think we're any good, you know, you may say, well, I'm not very good with numbers. I don't know if I couldn't do, you know, if it interests you, then get your foot in there and let him show you what you really could do. Because that's the way the body grows, and that's how we gain influence in a city, as how do we come to the place in our praise and worship where musicians are running to us because they want to be a part of what we're doing? We just use what we've got. And we let the anointing of God, the presence of God, the Spirit of God, the abilities of God, we let Him rest upon us week after 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 week. And He brings us to a place where He brings us together as a body, that we know how to worship Him and we know how to praise Him. And then when people that are musicians that have that natural gifting, they come in the door, they want to be a part of what we're doing because they've never heard that before. And then they have to unlearn that it's not about them. They have to learn, you know, they have to learn how to flow with the Spirit of God too. But that's all about a process. But folks, the fact is, we learn, we start with what we got, and we move forward from there because we understand that everything we got belongs to Him. Folks, it was a big deal for me to buy my first keyboard. I quit. I walked away from the keyboard, never to play it ever again. And the first one that I bought after that was probably more than 10 years It may have been 20. I don't even remember it. Because in my mind, I wasn't any good. And I probably wasn't. But you know what? That gifting doesn't belong to me. It belongs to Him. That which the head supplies, every joint and ligament grows, or the growth is from God. Principle number two, if we are constantly submitting to the head, the limbs will develop fully into our full potential. When the limbs call the shots, the body becomes undeveloped and ineffective. Everybody that works out knows that truth. Amen? So for the sake of time, let's go down to the very last square, and I'm done. We'll get into this a little more next week. The kingdom of God is to saturate the kingdoms, every sphere of influence in the world system. Until it influences and brings change to a culture, when we learn to submit our giftings to the head within the church, it changes us. When we learn to submit our gifts to the head within the sphere of our influence, it changes a society. I don't know about you folks, but I want to change society. And I know you do too. And I promise you, the year 2014 is going to be the greatest year you've ever had. If you're willing to walk in His head, not yours. Amen? Did you get anything out of this? Amen. Stand up. I understand I went a little bit long today. I apologize. But I trust that it was worth it. Everybody put your hand on yourself. Say this, Father, in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus, stir up the gifts that you put in me. I thank you for bringing them out. Contrary to my own thinking, they belong to you, and your heart's desire is to make me great. So thank you for using those giftings and waking up those giftings that I didn't even know were in there to cause the building up of the body and to see your kingdom influence this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.